Folks, that's it. It's 3 weeks. It's been sprints. It's been climbs. This is the final Tour de France podcast. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this. How do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
That's a wrap, folks. It is 3 weeks at the Tour de France. The highways and byways have been covered. We've overcome COVID and we've made it all the way to Paris. I'm honestly a little emotional wrapping up today's podcast. It's been an amazing 3 weeks, and I feel like rather than me being on a microphone pontificating, I really feel like it's been a dialogue. So many of you guys have gone to the effort of reaching out to me in Instagram, DMs, sending me private messages, and it's really been an impetus for direction on the podcast. Apologies if you've sent me a DM and I haven't got back to you. Not trying to diss you, it's just, yeah, it's difficult to get back to all the DMs, but it's not that I don't appreciate you all, so keep them all coming. Yesterday, we had Pogacar, and he set a new fastest time ever up the Pla de Belfie. And Pla de Belfie, after yesterday's stage, has stepped up to really being one of the iconic climbs in cycling. Like, we think Mortirola, Zonkalong, Alpe d'Huez, Col de Galibier, La Pla de Belfie, take your place among these iconic climbs. Before I jump in and unpack this stage, I just want to do a big shout out to all the Patreons. Patreons even tipping in the last couple of days, which is amazing. Your support throughout the Tour de France and even before the Tour de France on Patreon, it keeps this podcast going. And rest assured, just because the Tour de France is over doesn't mean that the Roadman podcast is over. Quite the contrary, I'm looking forward to getting back to my usual cadence, getting back discussing topics that are burning, topics that are changing your enjoyment on the bike. So instead of sending me the Instagram DMs about how the Tour de France is, start sending me them on what's bugging you on the bike, what challenges you face, and I'll do my very best, especially if you're a current Patreon, send me a message and I'll do my very best to cover a podcast topic for you. I have an amazing guest lined up for our long form podcast on Wednesday, but I have decided also to do one more Tour de France podcast tomorrow, a Tour de France roundup show, because I was conscious that I wanted to keep this, you know, our usual short form podcast and not ramble on for an hour. So I decided to break it up in two and do the big roundup show tomorrow. Also, I always feel like it's too abrupt an ending. And now that I'm in charge, I'm like, you know what? I don't want that abrupt ending. I want the slow wane out, fade in music. And that's the way we're going to do it. So thanks all guys over on Patreon. If you haven't subscribed over on Patreon yet, it'll cost you the price of a pint once a month to support the podcast and make sure we keep going forward. So you can support it by going to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Pogacar rode 6.9 watts per kilogram up the Pla de Belfie yesterday. That is insane. So if you're over 80, do the maths. Like, I'm not going to spout out a lot of numbers because that's going to get real boring. But do the maths on that. Multiply your weight by 6.9. And like, if you're an 80 kilo rider, it's over 540 watts up the Pla de Belfie. It's absolutely insane. I couldn't have held that man for a minute. It's ridiculous. He also rode it completely on feel. We've only figured out his power because he posted his Strava file with his time, and he set the fastest ever time by 2 seconds. Fabio Aru had the fastest time, and he was over 40 seconds faster than the time that Wiggins rode up Pla de Belfie. I think Froome won the stage that day, and the peloton rode into that climb full gas. When we contrast that with yesterday, Pogacar had a bike change at the bottom, so you talk about a momentum killer. So even with the bike change, he was still the fastest, still faster than Aru by 2 seconds and 40 seconds faster than that Froome win. Insane. Eddy Merckx was critical of Jumbo-Visma before the stage today. Didn't think the tactics were right at all. Thought they needed to put more of a cushion between themselves and between Roglic and Pogacar. Yeah, look, hindsight's 2020, Eddie. I know he's the greatest cyclist of all time, but yeah, hindsight is 2020. I don't think, I've been saying for the entire podcast that I felt Pogacar was going to snatch 5 seconds back here, 10 seconds back here, and then we were going to see him on the last day take it, because it made sense. He didn't have the team to defend it. It made sense as a tactic. But 57 seconds, you know, he won the Slovenian time trial championships, which I think were 16 kilometers, by like 7 seconds. So like no one's seen him putting 2 minutes into Roglic. It was an incredible performance. One, a performance for the ages. Insane, unbelievable stuff. I'm still actually, you know, when you have friends or family members that aren't quite into cycling as much as you are, and you're just trying to explain to them the significance and the drama at yesterday's stage, and they're kind of like patronizing, oh yeah, that's nice. And you're like, you don't understand. It was phenomenal. It was one of the greatest performances ever. And they're like, oh yeah, that's nice. I felt like that was me all day today. Today, Sam Bennett done himself a real favor by securing the intermediate sprint, which secured the green jersey and took the pressure off him going into the Champs-Élysées, so he could take chances, and even if he crashed, he was going to win the green jersey. I have to say, chapeau to Sam for the way he's dealt with pressure. You know, obviously, if you can't tell from my accent, I'm Irish. Sam Bennett is from Carrick, down only, you know, 2 hours from where I'm living, and you know, I grew up racing against Sam, and it's amazing to watch someone you came up racing against. I remember when Sam was a junior and I was just starting out at senior, and he was one of three riders that used to really like make races hard for you, because the beginner category I was in at the time was A3, and Sam was a junior, and they put A3s in with juniors, and yeah, it was him and two others, Philip Lavery and Aaron Buglen, the three of them. Oh man, they'd make life hard when you were starting out, but they were a different level. But it could have been any of the three boys, and it turns out it was Sam. And you know, there's a lot of people to thank, and I'm sure Sam will be thanking them in next week for this win and how long it's taken him to get there and the role that everyone's played. But the pressure that he's dealt with over these 3 weeks from the media, national expectation. He's on the front page of the paper here in Ireland today, and he hadn't won the green jersey. Bora also, Sagan's team, were so aggressive, and they rode so hard and put it up to Sam and Quickstep for the entire 3 weeks. So yeah, he dealt with the pressure incredibly, and to come out today and win today's stage, it was absolutely unbelievable. I'm going to talk through in a second exactly how it panned out, because the final stage, we call it the Sprinters World Championships in Paris, and yeah, it lived up to expectations. It was a showdown between the big guns. What I noticed today is the VIP crowds in the gantry, it seemed packed, but yet they managed to close down Paris. Apparently you can't get COVID if you're over a certain net income annually, because the VIPs don't seem to be able to get it. You guys can go and watch the race, but if you're general Joe public, they're closing Paris down. So yeah, I didn't understand that one. There must have been, you know, 500-600 VIP guests packed in. Must be kind of like the toasted cheese sandwiches here in Ireland. If you're holding a toasted cheese sandwich in a bar, you can't catch coronavirus. So medical disclaimer there, I may not be a doctor. Bennett today, he rode, I would say, close to the perfect sprint. He was up front a little bit too much, and the post-race interview, you hear him saying that he actually thought he'd thrown it away, that he'd worked too hard because he was up front trying to stay out of trouble. And then Markov said to him, we need to go back and ride in the bunch because it's easier. And he managed to recover. And when he managed to recover, he came back up then with about 2K to go, 3K to go. And he was fourth wheel behind his Quickstep guys, who shout out, because cycling's a cruel sport. Sam gets all the plaudits, Pogacar gets all the plaudits, but honestly, the teams, especially Sam's team, done an absolutely incredible job keeping him fed, keeping him, getting him through the time cut over the mountains. Michael Markov is going to be a free man in Carrick on Shore. He'll get the keys to the city, because what he done for Sam, it was incredible. He puts himself, make no mistake, cycling is one of the most dangerous sports in the world. We've seen this time and time again, you know, Fabio Casartelli, Walter Whalens, and Fabio Jakobsen. horrific, horrific crashes are possible in this sport that we all love. And Michael Morcoff put himself in jeopardy, in harm's way, every single day for Sam Bennett. And it's massive chapeau to Michael Morcoff. I'm sure if he comes to Ireland, he won't be able to put his hand in his pocket for a point. Because Morcoff was the last man through the corner for Bennett. And it's a slight uphill sprint. Bennett just waited it and he laid back until Jasper Stuyven took it up. And if you watch Bennett, he doesn't take Stuyven's wheel. Stuyven from Trek is leading out the world champion Mads Pedersen. Bennett doesn't take his wheel as he comes past. He leaves that one bike length gap open. That gives him a space to run into, so he can use the aerodynamic sling of being in the wheel and almost slingshot himself past Stuyven. So if you look at the final podium here, it's testament to how good Bennett is at the moment. We've Sam Bennett, the green jersey winner, is a Tour de France, standing top of the podium. We've Mads Pedersen, the current world champion, second. And we've Peter Sagan, seven-time green jersey, former world champion, third. I don't know if you'll see a better podium than that. Absolutely unbelievable. I love the Tour de France. I'm gutted it's over. But the rest of the season, if you're a cycling fan, it's phenomenal. The World Championships are starting on Sunday. The Giro and the Vuelta are overlapping. We still have Flanders, Roubaix. I haven't decided what I'm going to do podcast-wise. I really want to get back to my cadence of podcasts that are helping you guys wherever you are in the journey. Oh, speaking of which, so many DMs from people looking to get started in cycling. People have been training but they've fallen off the wagon, and I wanted to put something together special for everyone to get you back moving, regardless of where your fitness is at the moment. You know, regardless of if you're absolutely motoring and you're taking a small bit of time off, or you're just starting out, I've put together a 14-day challenge. I'm going to put the link in the bio. So the 14-day challenge, it's a training plan video series, but I've also thrown in, like, you've no excuses here, I've thrown in like shopping lists, recipes, everything. I'm going to put the link in the bio for that one. It's like roadmancycling.com/14-day. That's well worth checking out, and it's just in response. It's priced stupid. I just priced it like a stupid price, so I wanted to get it into as many people's hands as possible and didn't want that cash to be a barrier for you guys. And it's in response to just literally 100 DMs I've got over the 3 weeks saying, like, how do I get started in cycling? What should I do? How do I use a power meter? And the video course will answer all the questions for you. So go check that out. My gift to you for a tour that we spent together. Interestingly, Sam Bennett is the sixth rider to win in the green jersey in Paris. That was an interesting statistic I heard, and it surprised me because I thought that the green jersey would take less chances. But then again, looking back, I don't know how many of those, like Sam today, had the green wrapped up by the time they contested that final sprint. It's a Tour de France that we're definitely going to remember for one man, and I didn't do a Tour de France daily podcast last year. I was a little bit sporadic with Tour de France commentary, but we had last year Egan Bernal, and we possibly said this is the start of an era of domination, maybe spanning a decade. We've a battle on our hands now. We've Tadej Pogacar, who's 22 tomorrow. He's already had 19 career wins. Let that sink in. 19 wins, and he's 21 years old at the moment. We could be stepping into a decade of Pogacar dominance in the Tour de France. But it's interesting because the team is going to have to get rebuilt. The pressure is on them now to do what Jumbo-Visma have done. Take the race, take hold of it for 3 weeks. And it's a different sort of pressure. Coming in as underdog, not downplaying his achievement, but coming in as underdog is very different from coming in as race favourite. And, you know, like Armstrong, Lode Armstrong, or absolutely detest Armstrong, the respect you have for his ability to deliver 7 years in a row. And you look at, you know, the demands of celebrity on riders. Like, we've seen Geraint Thomas talking about training for the Tour de France year one and winning it. Not that it's easy, but it's what he's accustomed to, being a bike rider, training hard, recovering hard, going to bed early, eating well, training again. He said, you try and get up the next day after you've won British Sports Personality of the Year and you've been out eating shit food and drinking and talking to celebrities. Your training's affected the next day. And when you multiply that out through the course of the year with these sort of events that you're nearly obliged to go to, it has a huge effect. So let's see what effect that has on Pogacar. I can only surmise that had an effect on Bernal this year. Jersey winners. We had Mark Hershey winning the Super Combativity Award for being the most aggressive rider this year. We had Bennett obviously winning the green jersey with a 96-point gap, which was massive in the end. And we had Tajay winning the mountains, the white and the yellow. Look, it was an epic Tour de France. I've loved every moment of it. I'm going to come back tomorrow with a little bit of a Tour de France roundup podcast, and then we're going to get back into our normal cadence on Tuesday with an amazing guest that won't reveal who. I'll just give you a little hint. He's a current World Tour rider riding for Trek Segafredo. He's going to be with us on Wednesday. Thank you very much for joining me for the Roadman Tour de France podcast. If you'd like to make a contribution to support this podcast, you can do that. And that's over on patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Price of a pint of beer might be a small gesture from you, but for me, it's vindication that we're going the right direction. And it's also the massive financial assistance the podcast needs to get sustainable and viable. Roadmen, ride safe out there, and I'm going to chat to you all real soon.